This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, together with Joyce Goh, and we're looking into the main business news for today. Now, the Securities Commission has come out with new regulations to tackle or to supervise digital currencies and digital tokens. One ruling that has been made is how ICOs or initial coin offerings are viewed. In the past, ICOs were being used by certain creative corporations to skirt regulation, because this is defined as not being securities, and yet receiving the owners of ICOs receiving economic benefits of those securities, of those companies.
Well, so this new law governing digital currencies and assets, the Capital Markets and Services Order 2019, comes into force today. And under this new law, digital currencies and digital tokens are defined as securities, and therefore they'll be regulated by the SC.
Yeah, so there was a very interesting structure in the past, because some sort of a foundation was set up in which some sort of a contract was being signed by the founders, the sponsors of the ICO, and the beneficiaries of the ICO, to the extent that it almost looked like ICO holders owned the company but not being subject to regulation. And there has been a bubble in the ICO market in the last 2 years or so. Anything that you raised, any ideas that you put out there would easily raise 10, 20 million US dollars. So it was a great way for such companies to raise money. But last year, the crypto market didn't have a very good year. Apparently, 700 billion US dollars was erased from the market capitalization of digital assets.
Well, but this new law, Julian, it's going to be an offense to offer an ICO or operate a digital asset exchange without the permission or approval from the SC. And the punishment would be on conviction, imprisonment not exceeding 10 years, and a fine not exceeding 10 million ringgit.
Yeah, very serious offences here. And in fact, it comes on the back of a lot of statements coming out from other countries around the world. For example, China, they have called for a regulation to be put around digital assets. In Japan, they're more open to the idea of digital assets, but there are also rules for it. And Vietnam, a country, a developing country like Vietnam, still has a ban on cryptocurrencies. I guess the stance of our regulators, both SC and Bank Negara, is that they are not totally outright banning it. They're keeping an open mind, because ideas like distributed ledgers and smart contracts and so on could be central to doing business for the future. So somehow you've got to open up the way to perhaps embrace this.
Yeah, I think they don't want to stifle the environment, but I think what is crucial is they should monitor things like money laundering, as well as, counterterrorism financing rules, as well as cybersecurity and things like that. I think it is still important to keep track of that. In Japan, they're open when it comes to digital assets and digital currencies, but what they have is, I think they have a division that looks into anti-money laundering, because it's definitely an area that they have to look into.
Yeah, I think, Joyce, last year there was this whole host of very ambitious coin people who wanted to launch their own coins, right?
Yeah, we have a number of them. I mean, there's the Harapan coin, remember that? There's sometime in July 2018, Khalid Samad floated the idea of a Harapan coin. And there was also La Vida coin. This was September 2018, when the SC actually issued a notice for the La Vida coin to halt their ICO.
Yeah,
Wonder what happened to that?
Yeah, they wanted to raise $1.5 billion US dollars.
That's a lot.
So that's a lot of money.
Also, remember Country Heights with their horse coin? This was back in November 2018. I think they wanted to go ahead with this ICO to issue horse currencies. And
there
was, also CopyCash, a Singapore-based blockchain startup intended for an ICO back in January 2018. SC also ordered for them to halt their scheduled ICO.
Yep. Related to this is the news that the IRB will be looking deeper into e-commerce businesses, including those who are operating on social media platforms, to collect information on misreported asset declarations. I guess this is continuing with the IRB, or the Inland Revenue Board's theme to cast a wider net on taxation.
Yeah, I guess what they're doing is they're using technology. When some people are using technology to pay little less tax, what they're doing is they're using technology to find these people, to find the leakages, right? So what they will do is to browse internet and social media to search for online businesses that have yet to register as taxpayers. Because when it comes to tech, what you can do is you can sell, I guess, big cakes and you can sell them online and not declare income for some of them. As well as, you know, in this day and age where we have social media influencers, you can do deals with brands, certain brands, and you get paid quite a lot for a post, depending. Maybe a post of a handbag, you get paid 20,000 ringgit. And if over time, imagine how much you make, right? And if that crosses a threshold, you should declare income.
Absolutely. A lot of leakages for taxes, and therefore the IRB is fighting fire with fire, mm-hmm. you know, fighting technology with technology. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering whether this will stifle a very nascent and fledgling sector in Malaysia, because we need a kind of new sector to boost the growth of the economy.
Yeah, well, there is a threshold. So if you earn below the threshold, you don't have to pay taxes. But if you earn above a threshold, you should. And I think the IRB has identified about 80,000 eligible taxpayers. That's about some 76,000 individuals and 4,000 companies who have failed to pay or declare their taxes. So they're coming after you guys.
Yeah, I think this is to make an example out of people as a deterrent, not to run away from your taxes. But I hope that the focus would be on big guns and not the small fries, mm-hmm. because 76,000 individuals may not earn as much in terms of taxable income than the 4,000 companies or even, you know, a few big companies that are out there.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is also because of this special voluntary disclosure program. A lot of taxpayers, I mean, right now you have the option to declare your undeclared income and get like a discount in a way when it comes to that. So that could help. I think what IRB is also looking to do is they want to go through third-party information and internal information gathering. So they're using web crawler software to mine data. So again, you know, using tech.
Exactly. Joyce, the other big news is that real estate developer Capital Land, I think one of the biggest real estate asset owners in the region, has struck a deal with Temasek Holdings to purchase Ascendas and Sing Bridge, valued at about 11 billion Sing dollars.
Yeah, I think what they're doing is they're also looking to diversify, because Ascendas Sing Bridge is mainly a business space operator that is in logistics, business parks, as well as data centers. So moving beyond just shopping malls, because actually Capital Land is here, Julian, remember, because they're in a couple of malls here. For example, in Penang, they're in Gurney Plaza, Queens Bay Mall. Here in KL, they're in Sungai Wang, The Mines, as well as Three Damansara. That used to be Tropicana Mall. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of interesting businesses. I mean, the usual stuff is like shopping malls and hotels, but there's also office space, there's logistics. I think the local Malaysian Raider Association is trying to come up with a residential REIT as well, which is going to be very useful to tackle the home ownership affordability issue in Malaysia. But, you know, as far as Capital Land is concerned, there is a new the CEO just took over, right? Lee Chee Koon took over in September, and he's just 43. And this deal is probably his way of making his mark on Capital Land, where the assets are now breaching $100 billion to $116 billion.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
but I guess it's reinventing the company, which I think when it comes to their malls portfolio, they should reinvent some of them as well. Because, you know, with this whole shift when it comes to shopping, is no longer just shopping and brick and mortar, is going online. So to make their malls more of a destination, like for example, Sungai Wang, it used to be so popular back in the day, but right now, not many shops left. I think they're trying to reinvent it, but whether or not it'll be successful.
Perhaps repurpose it for a co-working space, who knows?
Good idea.
That's an upcoming business. All right, we'll bring you updates from Bursa Malaysia. That's coming up after the 9 a.m. news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.